Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Independence Day, a celebration of giving thanks to God and just general merrymaking and celebrating of the freedoms, the independence that we enjoy as citizens of this country, which is, by all accounts, one of the freest countries and societies around the world. But I want you to stop and think for a minute about how free, really, you are. Think about it. Are you free to work or not to work? Are you free to tell your boss what you really think of him or her? If you're under the age of 18, are you free to go to school or not go to school? Are you free to drive any speed you like? Are you free to abandon your spouse if you're married? Now, maybe you could say in this country you're free to do many of those things, and maybe you could get away with many of those things that you are not supposed to do. But when we stop and think about it, even though we live in this country that is famed for its freedoms and we cherish our freedoms, yet as we think about those things, we know that we are not 100% free to do whatever we want. Yet listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the first verse of the reading that we have before us today. It's very striking. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again." So we see that there's an apparent contradiction here. The Apostle Paul is saying that we are free, yet we also know that there are things, plenty of things, that we just cannot, or at least that we should not do. Well, this is something that the reformer Martin Luther wrote about in one of his most famous works on the freedom of the Christian. He wrote two apparently contradictory statements. He said, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none." But he also wrote, "A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." Here in our reading, the Apostle Paul is explaining these truths, these apparently contradicting truths, to the Christians in Galatia. He reminds them that it is Christ Jesus himself who has set them free. And so he warns them not to allow anyone to put them back under the yoke of slavery, of having to obey all of those ceremonial laws and commands and regulations of the Old Testament, because Jesus has fulfilled all of those laws for us. And all of those ceremonial laws were only ever intended as a foreshadowing of Jesus and the work of salvation that he would accomplish for us. So now that Jesus has come, and now that he has accomplished that work of forgiving our sins, forgiving the sins of the whole world, those laws, those ceremonial laws of the Old Testament are no longer needed, because Jesus has died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. But the Apostle Paul also knows what will happen when our sinful nature hears that we have freedom through Jesus. He knows that our sinful nature will latch onto that freedom and that it will use that as an excuse for doing all kinds of sinful things that go against God's will and against God's law. And so the Apostle Paul warns in verse 13 of our text, "Only do not use your freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Rather, serve one another through love." The Christians in that region of Galatia, which is a region somewhere in the center of what is now modern-day Turkey, they'd been in turmoil amongst themselves about whether followers of Jesus had to follow all of those Old Testament ceremonial laws, laws like only eating kosher foods, foods that God had permitted his people in the Old Testament to eat. And there were other foods that were forbidden for them to eat, like famously pork and shellfish, and whether they had to celebrate all the different festivals and Sabbath days that God had commanded his people in the Old Testament to celebrate, along with all of the sacrifices that were supposed to be made on those days. and whether the males had to be circumcised, and all the other ceremonial laws that God had commanded his people to obey in the Old Testament. Well, Paul knew many of these Christians in the region of Galatia very well. He had made two different missionary trips through that region, planting churches, spreading at first the message of that Jesus is the Messiah on his first missionary trip, and then on his second missionary trip through that area, strengthening and encouraging those believers and building them up in their faith by teaching them more about what that means for their lives and how they can stay faithful to Jesus in their lives. But now Paul had been hearing some reports back about the continuing developments in the lives of those Christians in the churches in Galatia. And he had heard from those reports that some of those believers had not been using their Christian freedom correctly. Some people in those Christian churches were insisting that there was no such thing as freedom at all. They were trying to live by the law rather than living in the freedom of the Spirit. In fact, they tried to beat each other over the head with God's laws, that even though, as the Apostle Paul teaches us, though many of those ceremonial laws of the Old Testament were no longer applicable for God's people now that Jesus had come. But they continued to argue and bicker. They called each other names. They refused to walk or talk or eat with each other because of the disagreements that they were having. So Paul now preaches to them about the law of love. He tells them that they need to respond to Christ's command to love your neighbor as yourself, and that they have to give up their bickering and their infighting and their backstabbing. Verse 15 of our text paints a very vivid picture of those arguments and the strife that were taking place among those Christians in the churches in Galatia. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 15, "If you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." The picture there is of Christians gnawing away at each other, never giving in, in fact, taking pleasure in those arguments, and taking pleasure in being antagonistic and in causing and continuing strife and tension. As we think about that, we realize that today we have not outgrown that sinful tendency, have we? We see that there is still tension and strife in relationships. We see that between spouses. We see that between children and their parents. We see that between friends. And we even see that between Christians, even in the same church. But Paul says that the Spirit has forever freed us from the law. He says that the Spirit opposes the things of the flesh, that is, the sinful nature. He says that the sinful flesh, the sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. But he also says that if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the control of the law. And now at this point, the Apostle Paul goes on to list some of the works of the flesh, and then he goes on to list some of the works of the Spirit. First, in verse 19, the works of the flesh, he says, are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, complete lack of restraint, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, orgies, and things similar to these. And then after listing all of those, certainly not a comprehensive list, but a list of many of the different kinds of sinful actions and attitudes and desires that the sinful nature produces within us, then the Apostle Paul gives this stern warning: those who continue to do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in contrast with these works of the sinful nature that lead people to hell, the Apostle Paul then lists the fruits of the Spirit, the virtues that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives through faith in Jesus: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God's love for us through Jesus creates this inner peace and joy, which then shapes our outward actions and our words towards each other, and even the thoughts and desires of our hearts. Martin Luther emphasized this same progression of God's love transforming our lives in that little book that we mentioned earlier in the sermon, his book On the Freedom of the Christian. He said that good works don't make a person good, but that a believer in Jesus just naturally produces good works. We are set free from the law through faith in Jesus. Luther explained that although fasting and meditating and doing good works and other practices like that can help us to control the works of the sinful nature and its desires, it's only God who can rescue us from the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. Nothing that we do can provide that rescue or salvation for ourselves. And so again and again in this letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul emphasizes how we have been set free through Jesus and by his work. He says that those who belong to Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We have been joined together with Jesus through faith, and we share in his Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul writes about that same thing to the Galatians just a few chapters earlier in Galatians chapter 2. He writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All of our sins have been paid for by Jesus. And through faith in Jesus, we have Jesus himself living inside of us. And so when we know his great love for us, his forgiveness for us, we want to show our love for him and for each other by everything that we think and say and do in our lives. And so the Apostle Paul writes in the conclusion of our reading, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with it. Paul is making this very personal and practical for each one of us in our lives. Sometimes we can be as foolish as those Galatian Christians were. Sometimes we misuse our Christian freedom and we don't live out that fruit of the Spirit in our lives and in our interactions with each other. But Jesus has forgiven all of those sins, all of those times when we fail to live according to his Spirit. And then he fills us again with his Spirit, so that now we are no longer slaves to our sinful nature, to the sinful desires that that sinful nature produces in our hearts, but we are truly free from that slavery to sin. We're free to follow Jesus, to devote our whole lives to him and to his service, and to serving and loving each other. We're free, free to serve each other as the Holy Spirit motivates us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, live in that freedom of the Spirit. Amen.